now chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Now, you know, we had just read in chapter 17, Jesus praying to God. I think this is a separate prayer, though, from when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and poured his heart out to his Father. Please do not make me do this, but not my will, but thine be done. Remember, he prayed three times that he would not have to go through what he was about to go through. But he was going to do it anyway if it was the Father's will. And he knew it was the Father's will. That seems to be a separate prayer that John does not include in his account of the gospel. Okay, and Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now, the weapons part, how ridiculous is that? Was Jesus ever a violent man? Was he a murderer? Was he a thief? Was he a rapist? No, he never did anything violent, but they came with a whole bunch of people. I don't know what a band is, but a whole band of men and officers came with lanterns and torches and weapons. Therefore, Jesus, knowing all things that would come on him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" Jesus was allowing this. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he was allowing this. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Then, as soon as he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, I'm not exactly sure what this is about, because I don't think these band of men and officers had just such utter respect for Jesus that they just bowed down to him. I doubt that. Could this have been some kind of miracle where Jesus kind of forced them down to the ground? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But I do find that wording very interesting. They went backward and fell to the ground. If anyone has any ideas about that, let me know. So I do find that very interesting. Then he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way," his apostles. Basically, here I am, take me, but let them go. "That the saying that he spoke might be fulfilled, I have lost none of those whom you gave me." And this is referring back to the previous chapter where Jesus is praying to his Father. Basically, I haven't lost any of the apostles. None of them have been killed. We know that Judas is going to end up killing himself, but so this is just referring to Jesus' prayer that he had just said. "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said to Peter, 'Put up your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?'" Now, in other accounts, we read that Jesus basically picked up the man's ear and miraculously put it back on. Now, see, that's something you don't see today. For all these people out there that think that miracles are still occurring, okay, I don't ever see someone picking up someone's body part that's just been chopped off and miraculously reattaching it. "Then the cohort and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away first to Annas, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." You know, a few chapters before, I think we read that, that Caiaphas, through the Holy Spirit, prophesied this. I don't think it was Caiaphas being just a super smart, logical man saying this. I think the Holy Spirit prompted him to say that. So he was first sent to Annas, the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest. We don't have anything more about that, and John doesn't say anything more about that. We know from verse 24 that Annas then turned around and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. So we don't know what happened with Annas. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, does it name the disciple? I'm going to guess John, but I don't know. The disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So I'm thinking all of the other apostles have scattered. But Peter followed from a distance. Then this other disciple, who maybe was John, I don't know, knew the high priest somehow, and so went in with Jesus to see the high priest. So we have at least one disciple who didn't run away, I guess. Okay, then the young woman who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." Aha! Okay, so that's Peter's first denial. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and I have said nothing in secret." In other words, I haven't been secret about anything that I've said. I have taught very publicly and very openly. "Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I have said to them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had said this, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, basically slapped Jesus across the face, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that? How dare you talk to the high priest like that?" What he doesn't realize, he just slapped the Son of God. He just slapped deity, who could have just sent 12 legions of angels to completely destroy that man who slapped him. But Jesus is meek. Now, I hate that today that word in our culture means weak. When it says that Jesus is meek, that does not mean weak. It means strength under control. And you can certainly see that here, because if someone just falsely accused me of things and then slapped me across the face and said, "Don't talk to the high priest like that," it would be very difficult for me not to use my powers on those people. He had strength under control. Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why did you strike me?" Basically, if I'm lying, I deserve that slap. But if I'm telling the truth, which I am, why are you slapping me? Now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "Are you not also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." So there's Peter's second denial. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again. That's his third denial. And immediately the rooster crowed. And we know from other accounts that Peter wept bitterly because he looked up and he saw Jesus looking at him. Like I said, that verse always gives me the chills. You've just denied knowing Jesus three times. And then you look up and you see Jesus looking at you. And he must have such disappointment in his eyes when he's looking at you. I just can't imagine how badly I would feel. And Peter did. He went out and wept bitterly. He had godly sorrow. He repented and he continued living a life pleasing to God. Making mistakes along the way, of course. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves did not go into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So this is all per the law of Moses. Then Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have delivered him up to you." In other words, he's a criminal. That's why we're bringing him to you, Pilate. Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." You know, they were wanting Pilate to judge to basically convict Jesus of a crime under Roman law, because under Roman law, they had crucifixion as a means of execution, and this is exactly what they wanted for Jesus. Well, they couldn't try him under their law, the law of Moses. I mean, what are they going to accuse him of? Now, this is what they try to charge him with. Therefore, the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." So, under the law of Moses, we can't put him to death. "That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled that he spoke, signifying what death he should die." In other words, this was all, you know, in God's plan from the very beginning. He knew what was going to happen, and he used man's free will choices to bring about his will. He knew that this was going to happen. He knew that the Jews were going to want to get him crucified under Roman law. "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Do you say this thing of yourself, or did others tell it to you of me?'" Are you saying I'm the king of the Jews, or did someone tell you that? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" Which, "No." "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Such an important verse. People are always, and even through the whole New Testament so far up to this point, they all think that Jesus is going to be a physical king on a physical throne in physical Jerusalem. And that's simply not true. He is a king of a spiritual kingdom, his church. "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" So he's pretty much confirming, yes, I am a king. That's why I was sent to this earth, to set up my kingdom. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all, but you have a custom that I should release to you one at the Passover. Therefore, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" He was probably hoping that they would say yes, because he couldn't find any fault in this man. Certainly not under Roman law. Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber, and we know from another account that he was also a murderer. So this Barabbas was a bad, bad dude. They would rather have this violent, seditious, robbing murderer released in back into their society than to have Jesus, who never hurt anybody, be released. That is something. And that is John chapter 18.